You go to Dennis Walt. He is sitting at his desk, occupied, as he always is. Richard, this is where you've always seen your father. Every time you imagine him in your head, he's sitting at his desk, surrounded by paperwork. He is shocked to see such a young girl, death, and asks you, Richard, a million questions, and you're trying your best to explain what happened, but you can just see the disappointment in your father's eyes as he mumbles. You didn't learn anything being on the front line, didn't you? He leads you into his back office, which is kind of like a cruder type of office. He has a table in the middle of it. This is where he performs his, well, some of his medical examinations. He seems concerned when he looks at Anna. And he gives you the message that he needs time to figure out what happened here exactly. And he's gonna return to you if he finds anything abnormal. And that's it. Owen, you go to the farmer that knows the most about animals. It's not a vet, but he knows a thing or two. He's the person you call if there's any problems with cows giving birth, or if a horse is not able to put pressure on its foot, or anything like that. He looks at you a bit weird when you bring him a rat. In the beginning, he thinks it's a joke. Why would anyone ever want to find out why a rat died? Who would care? But then he looks at it and realizes that this rat is definitely not a normal rat. He doesn't do any careful examination, but as soon as he feels how liquidy the rat feels inside, he takes out a pocket knife and simply just cuts it open. When he does that, a liquid spills out. A blue liquid spills out. Onto the ground, onto his boots. He drops the rat immediately. The reason he does that is because this liquid is harming him. He's screaming. There's smoke coming from his hand as the rat falls, flops to the ground. You can see that the grass surrounding the rat where it lands is eroding away. He wipes his hand on his clothes and wipes his hand on the ground and manages to get the goo off and swears and looks at you and almost blames you for what had happened. As you're making it back, Owen, I imagine you're trying to make it back to Esther. And the other three, Bern, Cowan, and Richard, you're pretty close to town still. You suddenly hear a scream coming from the inner town. A spine-shivering scream from a woman. It's not the type of scream that you hear when someone is just angry, or someone is upset, or someone is having fun. No, this is one of those screams. One of those screams where you know something is very wrong.
Being on my way to go back home first to clean myself off, get a change, and then perhaps going to see John, that's what little we've been talking about. I hear this and I look at the two of you. Come on, we better see what this is.
I'm frozen for a moment, having been snapped out of my own reverie by such a bone-chilling scream, but seeing Bern take the lead, I just nod and follow.
Likewise. I'm not the leader type, but if Bern shows initiative, I've no reason to object, and I'm on my way with him.
I'm split. I want to go home. I want to see my wife. She wasn't all right this morning, but if someone's screaming, they need my help right now. And so I say a prayer under my breath, combined with a bit of a curse, and I run off in the direction of the screaming.
You all make it to where the screaming is coming from. You can see that there are several other people that have made it before you. You're pretty much in the innermost part of the town, right outside the Britannia Inn. It's a little difficult to see what's going on, but you do recognize that Lynn Clark, the elementary school teacher of the local Iskall Russ Elementary, is kneeling on the ground. She's clinging a girl's dress in her hands. Her husband, he's desperately trying to get her off the ground, saying, Lynn, this won't help the slightest. Get off the ground, you're... Get some senses, damn it! Everyone is looking! But Lynn is not listening. She is in complete distress, almost screaming as she's looking at the girl's dress.
What seems to be the problem here?
She's gone! She's gone! Someone took my little girl! She's gone! Oh no!
Calm down. When was this? When did you see her?
She's gone.
Yes, when did she go missing, Lynn?
Oh no. They're both gone, my babies.
I look to the father. Look, this is very important. When did you see them last?
We woke up this morning and they were missing from their rooms. It's both of them, they're gone. Both Dylan and Nesta, they're gone. They've gone from their rooms. I've looked everywhere. I've looked in the house. I've looked in the garden. I've looked everywhere. They're gone. They're just gone.
Okay, John, you need to go and get the local police. The rest of us, we need to put our heads together right now. And I'm talking to the bloody town right now. We need to get somewhere where we can all be heard and not shout over each other, because this isn't the first time this has happened, as we know, and we need to find out where all these kids are going and who's taking them away. Because Anna, who just died in our arms, well, she kept saying it was rats, and we know normal rats don't go around stealing babies and children, but there's some big bloody rats around this town, so who knows, they could have been fed something, could have been mutated somehow with radiation or something. I don't know.
Owen is right. We need to organize a search. We need to get everyone together and split up the town into search areas.
Exactly. But first we need to talk. We need to find out anyone else who has seen these creatures, because if there is an area that they are in more than any other, that's where we first need to start looking.
People are... They were... in panic. But then you started talking, Owen, and there is an aura of respect around you. People trust you. People trust what you say. Even in things that are not necessarily something you are professional at, they trust you, and people start to calm down. John Clark collects himself and says, Right, I will contact the rest of the men.
No, you get to the police. There's plenty of us to get hold of the townsfolk. You get to the police. Byrne here is retired. Sorry, Byrne, but you need to get someone who can actually, you know, get involved, get help from Cardiff. This is three children that have gone missing now. This is a serious matter.
Right. You're right. And he runs off. What do? You've set the town into action, but what do you four do?
Well, the first thing I wanted to find out was, from the people in town, is given there seems to be a certain propensity for these rats with mutations to be around our humble little town, whether they're... Are any areas where they are concentrated, where they have been seen more than anywhere else? So that's why I'm trying to gather the town together, so that we're not just searching every square foot of Halkin, but so that we're heading in the right direction.
People are giving you different descriptions that are not so useful. Some of them start talking about, oh yeah, they've had a rat problem for years back at their home. They're so difficult to get rid of. Some of them are talking about that they actually have less rats now than what they used to. It's all just a big squabble of people just talking and agreeing and disagreeing with each other. There's not a lot of useful information.
I'm trying to direct the flow of people, making sure everyone gets in to wherever we are gathering, and trying to pick up something to eat just to keep me on my feet. I kind of want a drink as well. I'll probably not have time for that, but I feel like I have a purpose now. It's good to do something. They need me. I know Owen just dismissed me more or less, but I feel like I'm always now trying to look for something to do, so I feel like I'm helping.
I'm a little at a loss of words at this moment in time. Everything's happening so quickly, after all. I do want to help, and I'm going to do whatever Burn and John tell me to do. I am, though, thinking to myself, I'm a little confused on one thing, because yes, Father Owen went on about the rats, but that's not possible. The rats do not act like this. I would like to see if I can come up with a theory based on my skill in the natural world. It is not, after all, my job, but I do know about animals and biology and things. It's something I've always just read about. And I'm trying to think to myself how what I've been told happened at the house, because I didn't see the rats myself, how that could even be possible. How could that many rats be dying in one location and so many in such great number?
I have since learned that rats love living in coal mines, so Carwin should have more thoughts about this.
Well, you both try to use your logic to solve this, and that's your problem, because no matter how much you wreck your brains for an answer, an explanation, you know, your knowledge about the rats in the mines, your knowledge about animals, there's no explanation. There's no reason why that many rats would be in such a small place at the same time and all dying at the same time. There's just no biological or logical reason for it.
That by itself is upsetting, but I'm also concerned with how little the town seems to know about it. The number of rats that accumulated in Anna's house, the connection, I'm forcing a connection in my head between that and the blackout curtains, and yet even as Owen calls this meeting, there's an amount of surprise, like not everyone knows what's going on. That's what bothers me the most. Like, how can something like this be happening to everybody, but also nobody knows?
Yes, it's certainly irritating, I think to myself. For now, I'll put my thoughts to the back of my mind and just focus on the immediate and what I can do to help in this search for the children.
Mr. Clark returns a little while after, and he starts putting people to work. He starts putting his big boy hat on and starts trying to focus on the task at hand. He seems obviously very determined. Both of his kids are gone. He looks at you four and he says, Can you go look? Just go look in my house. Go look at the children's bedrooms. Go see if you can. You said you found Anna. That she died. Maybe. Oh God! What if that does? Oh God. Well, maybe if you can find something that somehow connects the two. I just. Please.
I go up to him and I hold my hands on his shoulders. Try to calm him down. Of course, we understand. It's better that it's personal for you. We will have a look. We will see what we can find out.
Oh, God, Burn, they're gone. My babies.
Calm down. We're going to find them, all right? Together, we're going to find them.
Oh, okay. Your words seem to calm him down. and he disappears into the masses again.
All right. We'd better get a move on then. Time is of the essence, I feel, in this case. I look at the rest of you.
Yes, it seems we have been appointed the town investigators, so let's get to his house then and see what we can find. You never know, they might have left a trail or something.
I nod and just follow the others, saying, yes, okay, if we can see something you didn't, then certainly, but you need to let us know if there's any further developments.
Fine, but one of you is opening the window this time.
It's a strange homecoming, this. Very strange.
Look, I'm not given to exaggeration. There's something very strange going on, and it's not just big rats taking babies out of cribs, and as awful as that is, obviously. What's happened to this place while we've been gone? Again, it's the blackout blinds. They're the fact that people knew about Anna's kid brother, and what, no one, not one person checked by and or noticed that stink? That she was still coming to work? They must have noticed she was unwell.
I look at you with a worry that I usually don't have in my eyes. It's the devil's work. It's...
Oh, bollocks, Burn. It's the devil's work. There's some kind of... It's like they're hiding something. You know, when... And I don't want to sound like a stuck record, but when I was over on the front, and Richard can attest to this as well, when we got to Dachau and places like it, you'd see towns and villages nearby. You'd pass through them, of course. You'd have to, and you'd camp there, and you'd make use of their kitchens and their facility. You know, whatever you have to do when you're an occupying force, when you're on the move.
Mm.
And these places were within a mile, half a mile, of these bloody concentration camps, is what they were called. And the people that lived there, they acted like they didn't know any of what was going on. They acted like they couldn't smell it. They acted like they couldn't hear it. They acted like they couldn't... They didn't see what was happening. And there's no way they didn't. There's no way. Something I still can't wrap my head around.
But Father Owen, this is Hulkin.
I'm not saying there's a bloody concentration camp out in the mountains. I'm saying that there's something...
Something keeping an iron fist over them? Something beating them into submission? Keeping them from talking?
I don't know. I guess there's lots of different motives you could have for acting this way. It could be guilt, could be fear. I don't know. But my point is... The things we've noticed within, 24 hours of being back here? And how long have they been living it? How long has this been their day in the life? And what? This can't be new to them. It just can't.
Where were you posted, Corin? How far away were you?
Pembrokeshire. South Wales, south coast. Why?
Did you keep in contact with Linda, or your mother, your father?
Oh, no. We had post, but...
Nothing? Nothing strange? Nothing they said anything before this?
Not a word of it, no.
Yes, it must have been going on for a while. This is something that people are not seeing. Are we the ones going mad?
I don't think so, Byrne. All right, let's just focus on the immediate right now. Let's go and investigate the house. Maybe we can find something that, yes, is similar to what we've already seen. Maybe a clue or something. I don't know.
Okay. The clock tower is close to the middle of the town square. This makes for an easy commute for Mrs. Clark in the morning. The school is only a few hundred meters from the home. Mr. Clark was never a big fan of his wife working, especially since they're in no need of money. He doesn't have too far to the police station either. In fact, their house is pretty well placed for the life they're living. And the house is almost decorated to an artificial degree. Like, it looks like something out of a woman's magazine as you step inside. It's almost clinically clean. There's no smell. There's no rats. It looks pretty normal to you. It's a two-story house. On the story you're on, there's a kitchen, there's a living room, there's a dining room, and there's a bathroom. And on the second floor, there's the two children's bedrooms and a bathroom.
I shall begin making my way up to the children's room, looking around the rest of the house and seeing that everything seems normal. I guess the children's room is the only place where there might be anything amiss.
What about the rest of you? Do you follow suit?
Yes, I mean, we cannot probably all squeeze into a small room, but I feel like that is the first place to stop, yes.
Well, as you say, I don't think all of us can fit. So I'm thinking, if this is the same modus operandi as before, in terms of a giant rat essentially ferrying the children away, there may be some kind of trail through the garden or nearby. I've actually got fairly decent survival skills from my time in the army, doing a little bit of hunting. So I'll look to see whether there's anything like spore or trails or, you know, scratch marks, anything that might indicate where they have been taken.
So you're going outside?
Yes.
I have a similar thought, but you mentioned how sterile the ground floor is. I'm going to look and see if it's suspiciously sterile. Like, has someone cleaned this up but shoved something into a corner? Is there a part they missed? Like, sometimes when you're sweeping up a mess, it leaves things behind. No house should be this clean, right? So I'm looking for the bits that got left behind. If there are any.
Well, Cowan, as you're looking around, it does seem overly clean, but there's nothing really about it that makes you think that someone tried to clean it up. There's no smell of chemicals, there's no weird marks anywhere, but what you do see is actually something that breaks that sterility. It is a pair of footprints. Not a pair of children's footprints, and they are right outside the children's bedroom. You can't really tell if this is Mr. Clark's footprints. Something you do recognize, though. Let's see. Let's have you make an intelligence roll.
That's 41 under 80.
What you do recognize, though, is that these boots are the same type of boots that your brother is wearing. Military boots. You recognize it from the print. You've always wanted to go to the front line, so you've studied a lot about, well, pretty much everything about it. And you recognize that these are military boots. And you're pretty sure that Mr. Clark was not wearing military boots. Why would he wear military boots?
Right. Can I tell if they're going into the bedroom or if they're coming out of the bedroom?
They are both coming into the bathroom and out of the bedroom, and they're coming both through the girl's bedroom and the boy's bedroom.
And then after that, is there a path that leads out of the house?
You can't really tell. You can only tell that they are on the top floor, and it seems like they've been removed. Maybe not intentionally, but maybe just because there's been so much running up and down the stairs since.
Right. And they're alone, though. There's only one set of tracks.
There's only one set, yep.
I've noticed Owen looking out into the surrounding yards. I will leave the other two gentlemen to better investigate what's happening in the room, so it's not so crowded as we mentioned. But I'll make my way out and point this information out. Maybe if Owen knows what he's looking for, it'll be easier to spot. I want to see if there's further evidence of these tracks.
That's very useful, Carwin. Thank you. And let's see what we can find out here. Have you ever been hunting, Carwin?
Oh, God, no. My father, he tried like all fathers do, but I was a bit young for that.
Oh, you should. Now that you've grown up a little, you should come pheasant shooting at some point, or, you know, just beating, I suppose. Your father's not a landowner.
I'm saying this as I'm examining the grass, the hedgerows, the mud, trying to find any kind of trail.
Well, the children's bedrooms are both facing the garden. I want you to make a survival roll.
Failure. I roll a 68 against my 40. I'm going to spend one luck point and see whether I can get a re-roll. Knowing that the odds are not in my favor and a critical failure looms.
Mm-hmm.
But I succeed. I get a 25 out of 40.
So you use your knowledge of survival and being in the wilderness, basically, to look for tracks or to look for something that might indicate that someone has used the backyard where they shouldn't. As you look around, you do see that there is a couple of pieces of what looks like frayed rope right underneath one of the children's bedrooms.
Hmm.
And that's a little odd to have in a flower bed.
Carwin, have a look at this.
I'll come on wandering over.
What do you make of this, then? An escape attempt? You know, the old sort of knotted bed sheets out the bedroom window, but this time it seems someone used a rope. Don't you think someone's climbed up?
Can I examine this, actually? At least to see, is it an industrial kind of rope, or the kind of thing you'd find in town?
How much do you know about rope?
I worked in a coal field for a good long time.
Use your education.
No, 84 over 40. But you know what? I will follow the luck lead here. I will spend 4 of my luck to get us there.
Well, again, your knowledge of the military actually comes into good use here. And also your knowledge of the type of road you're least used in coal mines. This is not something you'd use in a coal mine. This is not industrial strength rope. It's actually quite bad quality. You can tell by how tightly it's spun. This is, again, something that looks like what you would bring in a duffel bag and you would bring to the front line.
So I spend a few seconds looking over it, shaking my head at this point. The military boots I was willing to push aside in the way that the human brain does, but these two facts together. So it takes a bit of a breath. I know that kind of rope. That's, I believe they use that on the fronts, not for anything too strenuous, but when climbers or sappers needed rope, that was the kind they use. I saw prints in the house. Also, Royal Army boots. It's all from the same kind of kit. And as far as I know, there aren't that many people in this town who would have brought that kind of thing back with them.
Wait, you saw the boots? Not just the boot prints. You actually saw boots up there?
No, just the prints, but the soles are so unique, and the size of them.
Yes, standard issue. Well, it doesn't look like I don't think we're going to meet any rats that are wearing boots, are we?
Oh God, I hope not.
This looks like more traditional abduction, I suppose, if any such thing is traditional. We should probably check on how our two friends are getting on.
Well, hopefully they've got the other half of the puzzle.
Richard and Byrne, you are in the children's room. You are, again, it's very sterile. Even for children's bedrooms, children's bedrooms, at least as far as you know, Byrne, your daughter's bedroom did not look like this. That's for sure. What are you doing there? You see a bed, and you see that the cover has been, crumpled up in the end of it. And that's basically it.
Well, I try to use my eye for detail to look for anything that stands out. I'm almost at this point looking for strange drawings and things that indicate devilry. It's where my mind has gone from the sights, and I still clump around in these boots that are covered with whatever goo that was from. Well, I didn't see the rats myself, but it's this sense of urgency trying to find anything that stands out.
Make a spot hidden.
That's a 17 under 60.
Well, you still got it, Byrne. You still got it. You haven't been in the forest for a long time, but your eye for detail was always something that was impressive to everyone that met you. Immediately, you notice that the legs of the bed has marks in them. In fact, it's not just normal wear and tear. It's looks like little teeth has been gnawing at the children's beds. Actually looks like little rat teeth has been gnawing at the children's bed.
Foul. Fie, foul. You see me lie down on the floor all of a sudden, Richard, looking intently at the legs of the beds.
I do look a little confused, but at the same time, I respect that you probably know what you're doing better than I do. Therefore, while Byrne is doing that, I'll simply look around the room a little, but there is one thing that I'm finding interesting. All this cleanliness, the clinical nature, as you said. Can I work out? This isn't normal house cleaning fluid, is it? This is almost like, it's almost like if I was disinfecting a medical kit, isn't it?
Why don't you make an idea roll?
52 under 90.
Okay. It is overly clean. That's for sure. I mean, it is weirdly clean. You do know Mrs. Clark. She is a very eccentric woman. She is someone that just starting as a teacher when you started or when you were leaving elementary school, she's overly strenuous with when it comes to cleanliness. It doesn't strike you as anyone has tried to cover anything up when you look at it, but it is overly clean.
All right, well, I suppose it's just an example of her eccentricities, but still a little odd.
But
then I push that aside and I look to Byrne and I just say, Mr. Byrne, is there something under the bed? What are you looking at?
No, it's not under the bed. It's these markings. I don't know why it's caught my attention, but there is. It looks like rats have been here biting at the bed. Well, look for yourself. Isn't that odd?
Richard, something you do find when you're kneeling down and you look underneath the bed. Byrne, you have your entire attention on the leg of the bed. You're trying to figure out what its cost is, if it's rats, if it's just normal, what it is. But, Richard, you find a little square on the floor, a little flat square. It looks like a photograph underneath the bed.
That is very unusual. I just reach out to suddenly take this photograph. What's on the photograph?
is a picture of a girl. A picture of a girl you've seen before.
I stand up with you to look at it.
This is a picture of a young girl. Her name is Laurie. Laurie Perry Lewis. She works at the Britannica Inn.
Do I know that she's a young girl? A girl my age?
Yeah, she's a girl your age. She's a very kind and sweet girl. You haven't talked much to her, but you know she's fairly popular in town, and most people actually really like her.
I look the photo over. What's happening in the photo? Is it taken in front of her house or where she works?
She's just standing there smiling in front of what looks like a garden. She's wearing a sweater, a beige sweater.
Mr. Byrne, this is a picture of Laurie. You know Laurie. Why would this be here?
Was she there last night?
Was she there last night? I might have actually seen her when I was on the dance floor or somewhere.
She was, yeah. She was serving.
Yes, no, she was at the inn last night.
What did you... She works there, doesn't she?
Yes, exactly. But why would this be here?
Just like Anna. I look at the bed and I see that one side of it is crumpled. It stands out a bit, seeing everything is perfect. I just lift the cover to see if there's anything there.
There's nothing there.
I pocket the photo and I say, well, you're the policeman, Mr. Byrne. I mean, do we ask Laurie why a photo of her would be here? Is that how you conduct an investigation and all that?
We would ask definitely who she had given that photo to.
Right. Well, I guess we should check on the others, and I go to the window to look out to the garden. Do I see the others down below?
You see them. They are standing in the flower bed.
Father Owen, we found some rather strange things. How are you two? You all right?
Yeah, yes. Well, it looks like we found some strange things as well. Let's get together outside and share what we've got.
I give a nod to Byrne, and then I'll make my way out into the garden to quickly relay to the others everything that we have discovered.
It would be nice to have something to drink. If I pass anything by, I will probably pour myself a little rascal.
There's only one thing I'd like to ask before you make your way downstairs, and I'll holler up from the garden. Pointing out the rope, does it look like it was tied by someone upstairs getting out? Or was it the kind of thing where somebody, like not like a grappling hook or whatever, but went from the garden up?
You can't tell because it's only a few pieces of rope. It's only a few frays of it. It's not a complete rope.
I start looking then at the window under which he is standing when he comments on this rope, just to see if there are any marks around the window, the pane.
There indeed is.
Someone has been attached here, I think. Climbed out, maybe during the night. Are there tracks down there?
No, I couldn't find any tracks. Just what we found down here. Just this rope.
I close the windows and I make my way down. But like I said, if I pass by any bottle on the way, I will pour myself something to drink. I don't know if John actually drinks. Too perfect, that man.
So, all of us getting together now, in the front of the house. So what are we thinking, everybody? Looks like boot prints, tattered pieces of rope, a photograph.
Gnawing on the bedposts.
Well, putting it all together like that, one thing I can say, Karen, when you mentioned those boot prints, is that definitely gives us a time frame, because all the cleanliness, Miss Clark wouldn't allow footprints on a floor, so it definitely must have happened last night. Literally last night. It has to be when it happened.
Aye. We would find out who this, who Laurie has given this photo to. But if you are... I'm looking over at Karin. Karin, I think You have an idea here. That poster boy brother of yours. Hmm?
I mean, I don't want to jump to any conclusions, but who else in town would have that kind of kit?
The three of you. I just say matter-of-factly.
Well, yes, that's true, and we're not the only lads. There would be a few others, but I guess we can't rule anyone out. Let's work out. We can find Laurie. Laurie should be easy to find. We could just find out who would have had a photo. There's no way this. She just gives out photos like this. This is a special photo, a memento. Isn't that right, Father Owen? She must know.
Well, I wouldn't know much about that.
Elgin is a popular boy. I would imagine that several girls would be happy to give their photos to him.
Hmm.
Would you know if he has had any contact with Laurie? Corin?
Oh, as much as he brags, I think he'd have contact with half the village at this point, but there's no need to speculate, right? We can confront either one of them.
Yes. And, well, I suppose the rest of it seems a little bit like someone with those boots and a rope went into the room and abducted the children. I mean, that seems logical, but it also makes no sense at all. Why? Why would you do that?
Again, like I said, there's something very strange going on here. It's not just the abduction. As you pointed out, Byrne, there's something's been gnawing at the legs of this with these beds. It's all connected somehow.
It doesn't make any sense. How are there boot prints inside and then a rope that someone attached up there, and then why didn't they not come in the way they left? Did they take anything else? Why, if they were just going to the kids' room, did they bother leaving prints in another place?
Listen, I don't think we can just, we can't just call the police and say that we think that your brother's been involved in something like this, Carwin. I think we should handle this as a community. And what that means is I think it would be best if you and Byrne had a word with him.
Right.
You know, you've got the family aspect. Byrne has got the... Well, he's got the weight and the muscle behind him, so he's not going to try doing something stupid if he has been doing something stupid.
I suppose, Father, while they do that, then we could go and talk to Laurie.
Exactly, although I can't say I'm that comfortable speaking to a girl about any kind of relationship she's been having, but it wouldn't be the first, and I'm sure we can get through it.
I nod in agreement, again, feeling not better, but at least more reassured that already this evidence to me seems far more logical than rats and boots kidnapping people. There's something going on, but at least it's explainable. It has to be.
Right, and better to handle it on an individual level before riling the whole town up with accusations.
You have listened to an episode of Red Moon Roleplaying, where we played the campaign The Whispers of the Mountains for Call of Cthulhu 7th Edition. The Whispers of the Mountains was written by Clara Harble, who was also our keeper. We were joined by Aaron Hammonds from Queen's Court Games, as well as Matthew Dawkins. The music is from the Cthulhu, Nyarlathotep, Yog-Sothoth, Shub-Niggurath, and Asatoth compilations made by our friends at Cryochamber, as well as the Paleowolf album Genesis. Check them all out at cryochamber.bandcamp.com or their YouTube channel for more music for your gaming table. We'd like to give massive thanks to our Champions of the Red Moon, Martin Hoyschobert, Nastasha Rollerson, Simon Cooper, David, Julia, Camilla, Ludwig Manford, Bob DeLang, and Julian for their generous support. And we would, of course, also like to thank all of our other patrons. Without your support, the show would not be possible. If you want to support our work, please check us out on Patreon. You can get access to bonus campaigns for Cult of Indie Lost and Coriolis there, as well as get early and raw access to all of our recordings. You can also hear your name read on the show as a champion of the Red Moon, as well as play Cult with us. Most importantly, that support is what keeps the show going, so do check us out there. Thank you again for listening. And remember, that is not dead which can eternal lie, and with strange eons, even death may die.